Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Teresa, the host of Walking Among Spirits, and Scott, the other host, is here with us also, Scott Hensler. And we are coming live from the Great Northwest, and he is coming live all the way across from Taiwan. How are you doing, Scott?
Oh, well, just enjoyed a thunderstorm, so I didn't know if I was going to get online or not, but it seems to have passed.
Yeah, well, you're here with us tonight. So when we come back after this short song, we are going to talk about Easter. We're going to delve deep into what Easter really means. And I do believe, Scott, that tonight's show is going to be an eye-opener for some people. And I think God is going to move greatly across this program. I know that a lot of things as far as my computers went down. Everything went down. Thank goodness for laptops. So I'm able to be here tonight. So after we come back from the song, we will delve right into the topic. Okay?
Okay.
And we'll be back.
Yeah.
Welcome to the West Channel. This is Teresa, your host, and Scott Hensler is here with us also, your other host. You are on the Walking Among Spirits channel. I'd like to open tonight with a prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, Lord, and we pray that tonight's show, Lord, will open the eyes of the blind, Lord God, and we pray, God, that you touch each and every one of us as we listen to the word that comes forth from Scott tonight, Lord. God, we pray that you give him the strength and the power and the courage to stand. Lord, we pray, God, that everything that you have for us tonight, we take and receive as you have us to have it. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening, and everything that is of you is from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Welcome, Scott, again to the show. And tonight's show, Easter, what the true meaning is. You know, I have been in the grocery stores, and I have seen the baskets full of candy and the chocolate bunny rabbits and the eggs. And I wonder, how did Easter turn into chocolate bunny rabbits and Easter eggs? How did how did this turn in from something so glorious into something that has been turned from God into Easter egg hunts and chocolate bunnies, Scott? I'm not sure, but maybe you can shed some light upon this for me.
Well, anything that God makes that's good or creates, Satan has to make sure that he tries to twist it into something that is not what it was originally intended. There's, you know, the fall of man in the garden was a very significant event, but also what Christ had done on the cross was an even greater event, bringing us out of that curse. And, of course, in his coming in Revelation, that is going to be the third great event. But what had happened way back, the centuries, that the pagan festivals by observing Ostara, which was a goddess of fertility and spring, was merged into the resurrection. And this was partly at fault with the Catholic Church. But again, the attempt was to draw away the true meaning of what had really happened on the cross. And so as we moved through the centuries, people ended up celebrating Easter, which was also a term for estrogen, meaning the fertility, which is an Eastern Orthodox type paganism. But that also incorporated the fertility of the egg, and along with Easter being the bunny. And it's interesting, too, that in the old days, when you determined a pregnancy, the saying was that the rabbit died. What they actually would do would take urine and inject it into the ovaries of the rabbit, and then the ovaries would react to it. And the only way to observe this was to actually cut into the rabbit. And since there was no love for that rabbit, they allowed it to perish. So that's where that term came from. So everything is just turned upside down when it comes to what Christ did on the cross by celebrating and relating it to Easter, when there is nothing scripturally to mark those two together whatsoever, other than the resurrection, the crucifixion that took place. So that's really what's taken place, is Satan has made sure that the kids today, you know, they're doing their Easter egg hunt. They're even receiving gifts like Christmas. Everything has been pointed away from what Christ really did. And it's a shame that society and the churches, who still celebrate it in this sense, have taken that, because it's really a pagan ritual, and it's not really seeing what God Christ himself did on the cross.
Right, Scott. I totally agree with you on that. It's a shame. It really is a shame, because God, you know, Jesus did die on the cross for our sins, and that is how we are able to receive Jesus now and able to have eternal life. So, Scott, I understand that you have a word of knowledge for us tonight, and that God has given you some scripture. And I'm going to let you have the floor and give us that scripture and that word from God.
Well, 1 Corinthians 15, it's all through the New Testament, and that's basically what the New Testament is about, is the fact that Jesus paid our sins on the cross through his death. His blood was shed. There needed to be a blood sacrifice, and it was done. The other is that it also goes along with the fact that, like in Exodus and Passover, these things were all associated together. Excuse me. And the other, a lot of people don't understand what the cross, what it also meant, that it was a Persian way of killing without having a body on the ground. And the Romans, being as ruthless as they were, took this up. And so what it meant is that a person died not touching the ground. This in itself was, I believe, a way of taking, you know, taking away from what Christ had done. This was eventually abolished by Constantine, who, in remembrance of Christ and what he had done, since he had some good in him, that understanding that at the very moment when Jesus said, "It is finished," it meant that the keys then at that point, as he descended down, were taken away from Satan, otherwise the keys to death, enabling us that who were bound to be set free, but also keeping behind the gates of hell locked the spirits, the demonic, and so forth that would have otherwise been able to have been unleashed at that time. And so we're able to loose things in heaven as we are on earth, and we're able to bound things in heaven as we are on earth. And this is that representation of what Christ had done. But what's also interesting is that when he descended down, that in 1 Peter, that he, that Jesus himself also witnessed, or I should say, preached to the spirits, those that were disobedient. Now, when we say preach, I don't mean that he was trying to bring them, you know, around. That I think he finally, at that point, was confronted in what they had done, and that it was also in 1 Peter 3:8. Reminding us that in Noah's day that eight were saved on the ark, and that the flood removed, and water representing baptism and the Holy Spirit, that these things were abolished, and that these spirits were finally given, let's say, the judgment, which, and of course, in Revelation will be thrown into the lake of fire, but it was a separation, otherwise that the gates of hell will not prevail against them. And so in that, then he rose. But he also spent 40 days amongst the apostles and other people after this. And, of course, and that's where we get the term doubting Thomas, because Thomas had to see the nails in his palms and in his feet in order to believe. But then he eventually, as in spirit, rose and to be with the Father, and of course we know in Revelation that he will return. So this is huge. And what does this all mean? This means that death was conquered. This means that what Satan had done had been conquered, and that we are able to now, through Jesus Christ, spend eternity with our Father, where before we were separated because of the garden. And that meant death. And those who choose in their hearts to accept Christ, because no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, that in that we have all powers against the devil, against the principalities, against the spirits, that we're able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, as it is said in Ephesians 6:10, 6:11. In that, meaning that in sickness and in torment and in curses, that all can be broken, all can be abolished and cast down. But it also means that we were given that responsibility. One third of Jesus' ministry was to preach the gospel and the fact of telling the apostles to cast demons out, to heal the sick, to set the captives free. But he also said to the apostles that if you're not received, shake the dust off of your feet and move on. And we're at that point where those who were never in Christ or never received, or their hearts are bound and they've hardened their hearts, they've allowed this is a choice, this is a curse, because we choose curses or we choose blessings, that those who will not hear were to simply move on. We're to plant the seed, but if the seed doesn't fall on fertile ground, it's not going to grow. But there are millions and millions of people on this planet who need to hear the word. And those who are listening now who may be witches, sorcerers, Satan worshipers, Luciferians, and those who mock the words that I speak, and those who mock our Most High God, judgment is coming. And I appeal to you to soften, to open up your spirit, to allow God to speak to you. Because I can assure you, as the sun is going to rise tomorrow, that the judgment that is going to come down upon those who have rejected Christ, that is blasphemy. The ultimate is blasphemy in the Holy Spirit. And meaning that if you completely turn your back and that you seek the depths of Satan, that the iniquitous that is within your heart, that you completely reject who God is and what His Son did for us, that the price that you're going to pay will be eternal hell, will be in the lake of fire. You'll be with the rest of the disembodied spirits of the before the flood and after. You'll be right there with Satan. You'll be tormented forever and ever. And this is not where I choose to be. Excuse me, my throat's a little clogged here.
You're okay.
You know, I'm here in Taiwan. I'm south of Taipei and Taichung. The amount of demonic here is hard at work. Now, the people are beautiful people. They're good people. They're very nice. They're very sweethearted. They've been through some terrible, terrible times between the Chinese and the Japanese. In fact, when the Japanese left, when they, during World War II, and they finally were given up this area, in their exodus, they released venomous snakes onto this island where there were none prior before. And so since that time, these people have suffered with the poisonous snakes that were not indigenous to this area. And that's basically what Satan is. He's a snake. He is a reptile. He is a dragon. And this was a curse that was placed on this land by the Japanese, by the Chinese, by those in the past that wished to conquer this land, because it is unfortunately godless. It is polytheistic. They believe in many gods. They worship idols. They do different rituals and sacrifices. I see it all the time here. And so they've rejected Christ. And there could be, there is an answer, and that is accepting Jesus to get this place back in order. In fact, many may think that Taiwan is an area that is running rich. And unfortunately, just like the U.S., many of the manufacturing has gone to China. And so jobs are at risk here. There is, of course, poverty. There are rich as well. But it is a nation that is heading downhill very fast. And it's one of the reasons that I'm here is to try and get the manufacturing back into this area. The quality of work can be superb. Of course, you know, the dollar compared to the U.S. dollar here, they call the new tender, it's like 29 to 1. So for every dollar, you can get 29 of theirs. And that's huge. And so a dollar can go a long way here. But, of course, they need the work just like the U.S. And once you're here for a period of time, I would not want to live here on a full-time basis. The population is way too high. I'm used to the United States where there's open land. There's plenty of resources. Unfortunately, the U.S. is being strangled. And this is one of the things that Satan has done, that Jesus has conquered. And by willfully turning to God through Jesus Christ, these curses can be broken, just like this land here can be turned around. But unfortunately, the U.S. has rejected Christ on the long term. Our government is rejected. We're allowing homosexuality to come through. We're allowing the government to oppress the Christian and bring in Muslim. And also, witchcraft is being allowed to be practiced on our military bases. Not much is talked about that. But yet, if you stand up and speak the word of Jesus, that you are persecuted. And as it said that, as Jesus said, that that the world will hate us because we loved him. And that's exactly what's going on here. Now, the rest of the world has been dealing with this type of situation much harder than the U.S. has. But the time is finally coming where the U.S. is starting to fall. The economy, the dollar inflation, hyperinflation is what's coming. And that means that if you've got $1,000 in the bank, it's going to be a dollar, worth a dollar. That when you could have bought a car, you're only going to be able to buy a couple loaves of bread. This is what happened in World War II, by the way. The hyperinflation hit, and many of those countries that were surrounded by Germany, that and the people's retirement that they had, they couldn't even buy food with it because of the hyperinflation. I've even seen pictures where children were playing with stacks of with money that were 3 feet high because it was worthless. It no longer had value. And that's exactly what Satan has tried to do with Scripture, with what Jesus did, is he's tried to make it not have worth to the people. And so that's where the term Easter comes in. So I'm just going full circle here. And by not letting people understand, and even saints themselves, Christians, who have accepted the term Easter, it's really a pagan worship of the fertility god. And so in that, you've got this massive confusion. The word's been tainted down. It no longer has in our hearts the true meaning. And this is what Satan has done all along. And so here we are in these times. And it's the same thing with Christmas, by the way. I was lucky enough that I spent 3 years at the Koinonia House in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, with Chuck Missler every Tuesday night with his teachings. And though I had been a Christian a long time, and had been in deliverance ministry for many years prior to coming there, it was good to just sit and hear the word for word, and in the basic with his teaching. And he would address this issue of Christmas, how it in itself had been turned into a pagan holiday. Same thing with Easter. And this is the unfortunate that the church has embraced this. And so even Christmas in itself, by putting the tree up and celebrating, you know, the exchanging of gifts, really takes away that meaning of the birth of Christ. And the birth of Christ being that the calendars, our calendar, really doesn't coincide with the Jewish calendar and so forth, that winter probably wasn't really when he was born. And so everything was just lumped together. And this is what Satan has done. He's taken what the definitions of the pagan holidays, and they've combined it together to cause a confusion and, again, to get us off track. And so that's where we're at. And as we look around the U.S., as we look at the shape that the churches are in now, we look at our economy, we look at the government that we had and the abortion that has taken place over the past years, we're in really bad shape. And that's been because we've gotten away from the true Scripture. We've gotten away from the true meaning of what God has said, what Jesus had done. And so now we're in times where the ability to worship freely, to be able to do as we would have been given to our Constitution, to practice religion, this is all being taken away from us at an alarming rate. And I believe within the next months we're going to see this take place even more. When the economy falls, and it will, just as it is in Cyprus. And by the way, the letters were in Cyprus, that the government is basically stealing the people's money. They're taking up to 30 to 60%. If you've got $100,000 in the bank, you're going to be left with $30,000. If you've got $1,000, you're going to be left with $30,000. And this is exactly what's going to take place in the U.S. And people don't think this is going to happen. Well, it is going to happen. The letters were drafted in 2007 stating to the banks how they're going to address the people when this comes down. The banks are going to have what they call a bank holiday. The money's going to be frozen. Even those things that you have in your safety deposit boxes, you're not going to have access. If you've been putting gold and silver in your safety deposit boxes, you're not going to have access. This bank holiday, as they call it, meaning that even the teller, the automatic tellers are going to shut down. And this is coming. And Cyprus is a test bed. and they're doing it now, and within months we could possibly see this happen here, and this is going to cause such a chaos that there will be a civil unrest, that they will declare the martial law. This is what Obama has been putting in place all along. And that those who've been worshiping Christ freely are going to find that you're not going to be able to do that. That the church is going to have to go underground. And that the large churches, those that are in a corporate state, meaning 501c, that they're going to be doing what the government tells them to do and not worship freely and the truth and what Scripture says. And so there's going to be a segregation. Those who are religious, those who have religious spirits, are going to follow along with the mainstream church. But those who truly want to be in Christ, those who truly understand and have not accepted false doctrine, doctrine of demons, are going to have to go underground. The church in itself doesn't mean a building, but what it means is the group of people. And so we're going to be seeing small groups, maybe 5, 10, 20, instead of hundreds and thousands. As the government moves forward and does this to us, those who are going to buy into the lie, thinking that government, as the Luciferian Freemason doctrine states that there will be order out of chaos, will turn to the church or turn to the government instead of turning to God. And this is where men's hearts are going to fail them. I happened to see a TV program here the other day that is, we had one in the U.S. called The Red Dawn, where we had the U.N. nations come up from Mexico and down through Canada that tried to do the takeover, and there was a few who stood, just like we had in our own times against London, against Europe, where we stood against them and prevailed. If this was one that was an Australian version. And as I said before, Hollywood has been telling us all along what they're doing, because there's many Illuminati within Hollywood, and they're pretty much perverse anyways. The garbage that comes out of them is absolutely disgusting. And there are some good movies. There are some that portray, things as truth. But as the Luciferian Illuminati doctrine is, that they will always tell us ahead of time what they're going to do. And so I'm watching a duplication of The Red Dawn, only this took place in Australia. And again, this is letting the world know what's coming. So Obama has been unleashing the drones that are going to be flying over the skies, that are going to be able to lock on to our homes where we're at. The UN troops are here. They've been practicing. They've been doing... As you go to my website at scotthensler.org, you'll see where I have on the homepage video of Florida, where they're actually flying over and shooting from the helicopters. They're blanks, but they're indoctrinating people. They're getting people to accept that this is the way it is. And that's what 9/11 was all about, is that it was a way of taking away our Constitution and standing. But that also means the freedom of religion. And so here we are. These are going to be one of the last times on Sunday that we're able to worship and to understand what Christ did. Next year is, if we even make it that far, this may be one of the last times that we're able to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And so I would look at it as a resurrection and not as Easter. I would completely remove the term Easter because, again, that is a pagan ritual, is a pagan homage to Estra, and it has nothing to do with Christ. And the same thing with Christmas. And so what do we do? Well, that means turning to God's Word and meditating in it. And we must test the Spirit. We must test all things. And the church has not been doing that. And so we have a church that is not able to stand against the wiles of the enemy because the people have been taught that they no longer really believe in what God had done on the cross through Jesus Christ, and that Satan has been conquered. But we've been given the responsibility. We've been given the power to do it through Christ, and that means that we need to not only preach the gospel, but we need to also heal the sick, cast out demons, set the captives free. And this is what we haven't been doing. And so the spirit of religion has moved in. This doctrine of demons has been put into it. As we've talked about the different manifestations that we've been seeing in the church, that men will look for signs and wonders instead of focusing on God and what he can do. And some say that Christ could return at any moment, when in fact that there will be signs in the heaven. And so what they've tried to say is that there's going to be a pre-rapture. And as I stated before, that, you know, at one time I entertained that myself, but I don't see that as being a fact anymore, and that we need to be prepared for what's coming. And if we're not prepared, our hearts are going to fail us because of those things that are coming on the earth. It will be as it is was in the days of Noah. And that means that there's going to be a terrible tribulation that's going to take place. And as we move through that and come towards the great tribulation, then that's when Christ will return. But he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle, meaning that we need to be clean. We need to be free of demonic oppression, possession, and the things that affect us to keep us from understanding who God really is and that what Christ really did for us. And that the doctrines that are being taught now are not of Scripture. And as I pointed out a while back, that I had introduced myself to a new pastor who had come right out of seminary from the East Coast. And one of the first words out of his mouth was that the Bible was full of gray areas. Well, that's blasphemy. That is absolutely insane, for the fact that that is the inherent word of God, and that in and itself has been a standing of truth over the centuries, that all the prophecies that have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled and will be are a testimony to the truth. Because we talked about running the numbers, so to speak, the probability that other religions could never stand because they don't have prophecy. And what they have said has always fallen, have not been the truth. And so here we are with God's word, proving every day with all the things that are taking place that God's word is truth, that it is the light. And no one comes through God except through Jesus. And this is what we need to stand and what we need to understand. And in that is power to take away death, to give us life, to spend eternity with God and not in the lake of fire. And this is what's been lost. And this is what is so sad. And those who have bought into the false doctrines are going to find out as we get closer that that the church has been wrong all along. And I suspect that many pastors are actually going to flee. I believe that many of them are going to go into hiding, because the congregation that have been lied to all along are going to be very angry. And there's going to be a great falling away, by the way. Those who have been practicing religion and not practicing the relationship with God are going to think that they've been lied to and abandoned by God, when in fact that they've been lied to by the church and have received a false doctrine. And when the times come, that the challenge will be there to reject the mark of the beast. Many are not going to be able to do it. And that is going to be a trying time for many, because it means that no one can buy or sell. That means that we'll starve. That means that there's going to be cannibalism, just as there is in North Korea right now, in different parts of the world. These things are going to absolutely try us. And who knows how we're really going to stand until it all comes. So this is where, regardless of what happens, we need to turn to God. We need to cry out to him to give us that protection to bring us through. If we're going to perish, then at least let our spirit be with God and not be thrown into the lake of fire to be tormented by Satan. Because when he's finally allowed to do what he's going to do, and by the way, he is not bound in Hades, in hell, he is able to roam free. He was removed from having the abilities that he had, but he still goes before the Most High God and accusing man for what we have done in our sins. But that's where Christ comes in, and that he's able to stand for us. He's able to say, hey, I paid the price. I paid for all sins, past, present, and future. You know, you leave my servants, my saints alone. They're in Christ. They're worshiping the God, our Father. And that even though you are the accuser and that you fell, that because of what I did, meaning Jesus, that I was able to snatch the keys from you, that I've bound those demons, those things that are unclean, but I've set the captives free, meaning those who are in Christ. And so with that is given all power and all authority to trample on serpents, to trample on those things that would cause curses, those things that would cause death. And that is where the church has failed in not teaching that true power that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. As we come into these end times, regardless of what the government does, we cannot abandon the faith. We cannot turn our backs on God, because as it says, there will be a great falling away. That means that millions of people will abandon Christ, and they'll, and this is again where I feel the church has led those into being religious and not having a relationship, that when these things come, that they're not going to be able to stand against it. So we need to bring this back into the church. We need to get people to understand what Jesus did, and that he did conquer death, that even though he died on the cross, and you know, you remember that he was between two thieves, and he turned to one of them and said, surely I say to you that today you will be with me in heaven. And the other one rejected. And in fact, he even mocked Jesus. And so we know where he went. And so we are given a choice. And that's a great representation of choosing blessings or choosing curses. That even though that the other thief on the cross was a thief and had sins that he had committed, that because he accepted Jesus Christ, that he spent eternity and is there in heaven now, where the other one who rejected Christ is bound and will eventually be thrown into the lake of fire. So this is what we need to focus on, not collecting Easter eggs, not calling it, you know, giving chocolate bunnies to each other. This is insane, because it's actually, in a sense, blasphemy. It's taking away the true meaning of what Jesus did. And I, too, did this as I was a child. I was raised in the Lutheran Church where this was accepted, and I had to repent of this. And there's many things that we've done as children being raised that our parents taught us to do. And just I just simply ask that you go before the Lord and say, Father, I'm sorry for this. I did not understand what I was doing. Your Son paid the price. This was an incredible sacrifice that enabled me and millions of people to now have a relationship with you, Father, and that Satan has lost, and that he cannot take us to the lake of fire with him for the very fact of what Christ did for us. And so this is what we need to remember. But we also need to remember that we've been given all power and all authority. So when we see people who are sick, when we see people who are bound and tormented, that we need to pray for them, we need to cast out demons, we need to set them free, to heal the sick. And this is what we've been commanded to do. And so those churches who aren't doing it, you're going to have to answer for that, because this was a commandment. And there's going to be millions and millions of people who perished at the hands, who were sitting right in front of the pastor in the pews under his nose, who are tormented, who are sick, who are going to eventually turn away. And those people's bloods will be on your hands, pastors. And I feel for you. For I know that every day myself, that those things that I have not done, that I was told to do, that I repent of, and that I try and do the best that I can. And that since God is a God who is slow to anger, and that we can turn to Christ and know that we have been forgiven, and that the persecution of Satan to make us feel every day that we are dirty, that we are wrong, that we are sinful, that is a persecution that comes from the devil. We need to rejoice and to understand who God is through Jesus Christ, and to have that love and to feel that love and that relationship, that vertical relationship with God that Christ enabled us to have, to re-enter the courts, to be clothed in white, to have the spot and wrinkle removed, to have our sins cast down and no longer carry the burden, the toxic shame that Satan has just really enthralled onto us all these years. And so a lot of mental illness comes from that. The demonic that has been attacking the children with molestation, with abortion, with all the different sins that have been committed, and now that we're adults, that we carry this toxic shame with us, which is terrible for the very fact that we don't need to carry it around with us anymore. We need to forgive those perpetrators. We need to understand who we are in Christ, that we can be restored, and that we can now be the man and woman of God that God intended us to be, and not who Satan intended us to be. And that was a broken, wounded individual that could be taken down like a pack of wolves. And that's exactly what Satan does, is he goes around seeing who he may devour. And the fact that he can devour means that you're not understanding who you are in Christ. Because even a child can stand against the devil. Even an elderly individual who's bound to a wheelchair can stand against the devil. And so those who are healthy, those who are in Christ, are carrying the burden of those who are not released, because the church is not teaching that we must pray for the sick, that the elders must anoint those. And so the deliverance ministries, I commend you for what you are doing. I know that every day, just as Teresa's attacked, just as I'm attacked, that the amount of is stepping up, that every day as we preach the word and move forward, that we too take the burden of where the church failed. And so where there was 100 people that could have been set free, we're only reaching 1 to 10 maybe, because those individuals are small groups of deliverance ministries. And so we're taking this tremendous burden on. We're fighting the devil in many realms. You know, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against the spirits, against the principalities and the powers. And so as Paul said, that is where our fight is at. But in the blood of Jesus Christ, we can stand. And so as he said, run the good race. And that's what's going to carry us through these tribulation times, as it says in Revelations. And that once we conquer and that we're able to pass through, that when Christ does return, that we'll be brought up and meet with him in the heavens. But we also need to understand that those who are dead in Christ now, that will be raised, that the graves will open up, those are going to be times in itself that are going to cause men's hearts to fail them. Because we're going to see things that we would have never thought could be possible. All you have to do is watch the movies that come out of Hollywood. These sick, twisted individuals that put these horror movies together are showing us exactly what's going on, because in their torment, in their night terrors, in their dreams, they've seen us. This is like a prophecy, and this is what they've put together, and they've made millions and billions of dollars doing it. But the church has rejected the very fact of what's coming, and as I said before, the Illuminati doctrine always tells us ahead of time what's going to happen. And we're seeing this in Cyprus, we're seeing this in North Korea, we're seeing this in Russia and China. In fact, if you think the tribulation isn't here, try and practice Christianity in other nations where they'll put you to death, where they'll disembowel you, where they'll do every horrible thing to you. So these people are being persecuted. They are having tribulation. And those who think that we're above this here in the country are going to have a rude awakening. And I just appeal to you to understand, to get right with God right now, to cast these things down, to understand who you are in Christ, and to uplift him. Because you need to remember that if you deny Christ, then Christ will deny you before the Father. And that is a place I do not want to be. As I stated before, you Luciferians, you sorceress, you witches, you need to understand that how terrible it will be to fall into the hands of the angry God. Now, he's been slow to anger, but eventually this is all going to come to a head. And as it will be as in the days of Noah, that these things will come upon the earth. And as I said before, that the laboratories that are under the direction of the Illuminati have been doing transhumanism, that we're going to see beasts, we're going to see creatures that are going to be re-inhabited by the disembodied spirits. We're going to see things that are going to be so horrific. And the government themselves, the ones that have become narcissistic, to believe that they have all truth and that they themselves have been risen above the people, are going to find out that those that tried to destroy the earth, that God himself in Revelation is going to come personally against you, and how terrible that would be. So I have seen personally those who were in government, as they're called spin doctors, that are the ones who come in and set the stage for the governments, for those who are running for office, that may have, excuse me, done things that have been brought forth that may destroy their careers, that these spin doctors themselves work their magic. But I have actually seen deliverance of these individuals, where I've seen the most horrific spirits come out of them. And one of them in particular was a wolf spirit. And when I say wolf, I literally mean that, because all creatures that were defiled before and after, during the fall of, or during Noah's time, that these things, as they died, were not a creation of God, and so their spirits became disembodied. And so these things that are bound now, there's at least 90% of them, that the 10% that is on the earth now is what we're dealing with. And when the gates of hell are opened, that when the spirit realm is finally breached and that these things are released, those who are practicing witchcraft, those who are speaking to the dead, and they're not the dead, by the way, those who are practicing sorcery and pharmakeia, those who are Luciferians and Freemasons, those who are worshiping Lucifer, you're going to find out what this is really going to mean. And this is going to mean that what comes upon this earth will be so horrific that you yourself will fail. And so that's why it is so important to understand who God is and who Jesus and what Jesus had done for us, because that is the only way you're going to make it through this. You know, it's good to store food. It's good to store water. I'm a strong believer in the Second Amendment, to right to bear arms, to protect your family, because we are called to do that. But you need to understand that those who are not in Christ, they're going to come after us with a vengeance. Those spirits that are going to re-inhabit these people that are not in Christ are going to come after us with a vengeance for those things that happened to them prior and after the flood. And this is going to be a time that I can't even begin to describe. In fact, in Revelation, it even states that to John, one of the angels has stated, do not write down what you see, because this is going to be so horrific that will be revealed when it comes to pass. And that is going to be something that I can't even imagine. And so those who think that they're going to be taken up into pre-tribulation, when you wake up and find out that you're still here, and I hope that we are taken up, because if we are, then we're going to miss all this. But I think you're going to find out that we're not going to, that we're going to be taken through this. And so prepare yourselves now. Understand what Christ did on the cross. Understand what the true resurrection is and not what the false doctrine of Easter is. And understand that the birth of Jesus Christ, as it was God who came in the flesh, who paid for our sins, who willfully died on the cross, whose blood was shed to pay for our sins, who ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, that he paid the price of what happened to us in the garden, the fall of man. And of course, when Christ returns, it's going to be so glorious that it will be when all sickness is no longer here. It is going to be when we're in new bodies. If we've been missing a limb, if our legs are missing, if we've been a veteran and they were blown off, that we are going to have new bodies. We're going to be resurrected as he was. And so how glorious that is, and to understand exactly who God is and who Jesus is. So I kind of went a long way around this, but, you know, we need to understand what is really going on here. And trying to do anything other than be in Christ is going to fail. And so this is how important it is to understand who God is and who Jesus is and what we're really doing here on Resurrection Day.
Yes. Scott, we are at the top of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. When we will come back with Scott and some more of what the true meaning of Easter is. Scott, you have opened my eyes to a lot of things. Just the other day, I told my husband and my sister, I am selling all my Christmas tree. I'm selling it all because I'm going back to the true meaning of Christmas, which to me is the birth of Christ. So I will open the Bible on the day of Christmas and light a candle and thank God for sending his son to us. So, and Easter, to me, is a celebration of the resurrection of his son. So, when we come back, we'll be back with Scott Hensler.
I took a look inside my heart, trying to find a part. Is there anything I could give the king? Maybe there's something I've said. Maybe there's something I've done. Oh, just anything to make me one of the ones he would love. In desperation I step back to see just what I had. And to my dismay all I saw was a pile of filthy rags. What was I to say? What was I to do? Now that I stand here with nothing I could give to you, but I hear your voice call out my name, and I listen close and I can hear you say.
does this keep happening? We are not alone. You seem different. Did you hear that? I wish we hadn't come here. What was that? I feel like we're walking among spirits.
Come and see. Look on this mystery. The Lord of the universe. Nailed to a tree.
Hi, this is Teresa, one of the hosts here at Walking Among Spirits. If you're ever in the Vancouver, Washington area, don't forget to stop by Down by the Roadside. They're located at 7702 Northeast 94th Avenue, Vancouver. Their phone number is 360-326-4424. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and closed on Sundays and Mondays. Again, that is Found by the Roadside. You can also find them at www.foundbytheroadside.com. Tonight, Scott is speaking on what the true meaning of Easter is. And, Scott, one of my questions that I have for you is, when did this all start? How long ago? Because I can remember as a child dressing up in pretty dresses and going on Easter egg hunts. And, you know, I'm 48 years old, so that's been many years ago, if you want to go back, that this has been happening in my life. So, do you know when about this all turned around?
Well, Constantine in the 4th century, from what my understanding, is when he brought this together. I don't think himself he truly understood what he was doing by bringing in the pagan holiday of Estra and merging it together with the resurrection, because originally that's what it was referred to, was the resurrection. So I think the 4th century would be a good number to start with.
The good 4th century, wow. Wow, that's a lot of... A lot of years passed by and a lot of people that were fooled. Now, this, as far as he made Constantine might have known not what, he didn't know what he was doing, but if you look back, this is all going to fall on his head, isn't it, when he stands in front of God. I was like, look what he did to my people.
Yeah, certainly if he didn't repent, yes.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Well, Scott, I'll let you continue. You've got a great sermon going. I'm loving every minute of it, and I'm learning quite a bit, so I'll let you continue.
Well, I just want to go back to Scripture on John 19:30. It states, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." That right there was the last draw for the devil. That was when our sins were paid for in full. And many think that Satan, that Christ descended down into the bowels of hell to be tormented by Satan. That is a false doctrine. At that very moment, everything was conquered. Those things that needed to be bound were bound. Those things that were to be loosed were loosed. And we were given that power and authority at that very moment for that. And so you need to remember who you are in Christ. You need to remember what God did for us. And so anything that goes against Scripture that is not in line with it, you need to reject it. And always test the Spirit and always test anything against God's Word. So a church may be teaching one thing or another, but open up the Bible yourself and read it. And go to those who are, let's say, seasoned in Christianity that you know are true believers of Christ. And there's another thing, too, that one way to find out, to understand where somebody is in their walk or what they truly believe, some think that Jesus was nothing more than a prophet. They think maybe he was nothing more than a great teacher. And some think that he didn't actually return in the flesh. And so I think you'll be surprised that when you talk to somebody who you thought was a true Christian all along, that these are actually what they believe. And these are things that come from the Luciferian, the doctrines of demons that have been taught in the church. And I can assure you that Satan is alive and well. He's sitting in the pews arrayed along with many of the churches. There's a lot of people who have seen demons within church that I have worked with as I've done deliverance, because the true teachings are not there. And so, again, we need to understand what God did, what Jesus did, and that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, that really was the beginning of the church, by the way, because when the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples, from that point forward, there was great power to them. And as Christ said, that I must leave, that another returns. And that was the Holy Spirit. And so that's where we get the Trinity. And these things may be hard for those who are with the scientific mind. I can remember a biologist actually saying that that is impossible, because he just simply believes in physical, when these things are a spirit. God is a spirit. Jesus is a spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God that lives in us. We have spirits, unfortunately, that are unclean, that try and infect us, that try and get us to do things, to turn us into iniquity, to get us to turn away from God and the true meaning. So we are in a battle. We are fighting every day. And as we stated yesterday in our teaching, that whether it's fight or flight, no matter what it is, the situation, you're in the battle. You can't just throw your weapon down and raise the white flag. That's not how it works. We are going to deal with this at an accelerated rate. And thank goodness that Christ did what he did on the cross, or we wouldn't have that ability.
Yep, that's right. That's so true. You know, it's funny when you sit back and you think about how hard Satan works at trying to keep the word of God going out. Especially in these end days, the truth will set you free. And I believe that, Scott. I believe that the more time passes and the shorter the time becomes, and the more truth that does come out, the harder Satan fights us. I know I've been going under a great attack this week, and then wound up happening to go to the hospital this morning, and I told my sister Satan is going to have to kill me for stopping me from being on this program. And it seems that he is just beating me up, but I know as a child of God that I will prevail, and God's word will be put out there. I know that we have been having some visitors come and go, and if you are out there listening to us and you're not logged into our chat room, we don't know that you're here, but we do welcome you. We will see our stats tomorrow to see who actually was with us. We are glad that you're here with us. Scott, do you have any more that you'd like to speak on?
Well, we need to remember that before the crucifixion, that there was the Last Supper in 1 Corinthians. But what did Jesus do for the apostles prior to that? He actually washed their feet. So the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, actually lowered himself to wash the feet of the apostles. That in itself shows a tremendous affection and a love for God's people. And at the Last Supper, they broke bread and they shared wine. And in that, you need to remember that when you do the communion, that a lot of churches do it every Sunday, and they really don't ask people to get into prayer, to ask for forgiveness, to get right with God before doing it. Because it also states that when that was misused, that many were sick and fall asleep, meaning that they died. And that is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit when you do not follow the communion rules and the fact of honoring Christ and what he did, and not coming there to just eat or celebrate as a party, but to understand what Jesus did. And so this is one thing that has caused a great separation within the church, has allowed the wrong doctrines to come in, is not honoring the communion correctly. In fact, the Freemasons mock the communion with a false communion. And this in itself carries a tremendous curse. Many that I have prayed for and had reversed those curses, trying to bring them out of that, have been very challenging. There was a gentleman that I can remember working with that, who was a Christian, but he didn't understand truly what Freemasonry was, and so he became a Mason, and in that, his whole family was tormented, and he himself was being tormented, where these things were actually clawing at him, actually trying to penetrate him, and that he had such manifestations within his home that his whole family could not sleep. There was banging on the floors, banging on the walls. And it wasn't until that I got him to renounce Freemasonry, to break those curses and cast those demons out, that he was able to be set free. So we need to understand that what we do is a choice of choosing blessings or curses. And so when we do not follow God's word, that we open ourselves up to the demonic and that we can receive the spirits, these unclean spirits that cause the havoc and the curses within our family. And so we need, again, to understand what Christ did and that he gave us the power and authority to overcome those things. And if you're not going to a church that practices deliverance, that sets people free, then you need to go somewhere else, because that is not the full doctrine. That is only partial. And when you do something partial of the truth, then it is a lie. And so it is very important to do all things that we've been commanded to do.
Right. Well, we do welcome all of you that have been with us tonight. Scott, I know that we still have a little time left, but if you'd like to just close us out in prayer, we'll go ahead and just sign off and let the words that you've spoke, sizzle in people's ears and let them find a true church to go to. And I hope that God blesses everyone. And I know that God has blessed me and has given me the ability to come here and share with you and have Scott on this program. And we'll continue to go forth as long as God willing, you know, that we can. So, Scott, why don't you close us out in prayer and bless us all, and then we will be back next week. Next week starts our great show. Our show is coming next week, on the 5th, which is next Friday. We have Jack Duffy, and he is the best-selling author of The Book for the Man from 2063, the JFK 1972 assassinations. On Friday, April 12th, we have Bill Deans. He's the criminal investigator, journalist, and best-selling author of the book Smooth Criminal. And then we have a lot more than just that. So please return and come back to our program. We're going to be having Dr. L.A. Mazzulli on the program on the 26th. That's going to be a whole two-hour program, because we will be definitely hearing him speak about the Black Eyed Children and the Nephilim, or I can never say that word.
Nephilim,
yeah. I don't know why I can't say that word, Scott. I have no clue. I can dream about him, but I can't say the name. So, Scott, why don't you close us out in prayer, brother?
Okay. Well, I wanted to say some say Nephilim, some say Nephilim. So there's still even a disagreements on that, but it's truly the disembodied ones, or the actual giants was the Raphaim.
Yeah.
Anyways, Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to speak to those who are searching and trying to understand the truth. Those, Father, who have been in darkness all along, you provided a way through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so this is why we celebrate the resurrection. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son and what he did. And Jesus, I'd like to thank you personally for what you have done. You weren't murdered. You willfully sacrificed yourself on the cross. You came to the cross. You even said, Father, let this cup pass, but if this is your will, let it be done. And in that, you were crucified. You paid the price for past, present, and future sins. And so we thank you for that. This is giving us life. And Father, we just try and wrap our minds around who you are. The very fact that you created the universe, but yet you lowered yourself to wash the feet of the apostles. And Father, in that, we understand that there is great love. And through the sacrifice of Christ, with his shed blood, you gave us the power, the authority, and the abilities to conquer death, to stand against the wiles of the enemy. and to heal the sick and to set the captives free. And so, Father, for those who are trying to understand and who have maybe originally rejected your word, now find themselves in an apparel that they're being tormented, that life is not going the way that they thought, that they've lost their finances, that they've lost their marriages, that they've even lost their spouses to death or their children, and they themselves are near death. Father, I ask that you speak to them, that you reach out and touch their hearts, that you take the scales off of their eyes, that their ears are able to hear, and that they're able to come to you, Father, through Jesus Christ. And with that, I just ask that a blessing pour upon everybody, that the heavens open up and pour upon the gifts that have been withheld from the past because of those sins. And Father, that those who are tormented now are released. Those who are sick are healed. Those who are confused now are standing in the right mind. And I thank you for that, Father. And that is because of the spilt blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and was resurrected. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And again, thank you for being with us tonight on the WAS channel. That is the Walking Among Spirits channel. Again, we will be back next week, 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific. Scott will be with us again, and we will have a great show for you. Again, thank you, and good night. Good night, Scott. I'll talk to you after the show.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now you never show that you meant to yet. And remember when I moved in you and the whole